And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from normally 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, but during April and May 2011, we're at 7 p.m. time slot, but we also archive on the internet. We stream live at 7 p.m. as well with this broadcast and archive at the radio show's page at richarddugan.com. And we encourage you to get involved by, you know, going to the website and checking out what we have available there as far as the radio programs. We have links to all of our guests' websites. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel, and that's why the content for my guests is on their website. With the exception, each week we do have a little information on the homepage so that you can see who's coming up, what they're all about, and get more information in that regard, and then tune into the broadcast, listen to the archives, go to their websites, check out their information. Well, you know how it goes. And we encourage you to do so because this program is not about taking a position and saying, oh, this person is the end-all and be-all of whatever the topic is. This is up to you. That's why we give you choices. I'm not giving you a spoon-fed information and saying this is what you should believe. I have no clue as to what you should believe. There are times when I wonder what it is that I should believe. I am searching just like you. And so we talk with each one of our guests. We give them an opportunity to share their perspective on the circle of life, if you will, that point that they reside on. And then you get a glimpse into their world. There are things there that may resonate with you. You take those and you use them. And there's a song that has a line, you take what you need and you leave the rest. And it's a wonderful thing to have that kind of smorgasbord. And that's what we kind of provide here. Today is no exception, but I do want to remind you that our email address is richard@richarddugan.com. If you'd like to give us a touch base with us, let us know what you think of the program. If you have ideas, suggestions, we would love to take those under advisement. I mean, we've been doing this program for, I still can't believe it's 3.5 years. It'll be 4 years September 7th of 2011. Unbelievable. And, of course, I still say the same thing about reaching that milestone of a half-century mark. As I said before, I was just 17 yesterday, and boom, here I am. So I guess that's a good thing because it keeps me young at heart, to say the least. Our program today continues our dialogue about alternative health, healing, wellness, in your best interest on all of the levels, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And today we're going to be talking with our special guest, Aileen Sabira. She has a website by the same name, and Aileen is spelled A-I-L-E-E-N, Sabira, S-A-B-I-R-A, that's A-I-L-E-E-N, S-A-B-I-R-A.com. You can find out more information. She is a multimodal, I love the turn of that word, visionary healing artist. She inspires you to breathe into the truth of who you are. We've been talking a lot about getting to know yourself, getting in touch with who you really are. When you know who you really are, then you know what your purpose in life is. And Aileen has found that purpose for her life, and she is going to share that with us today. Aileen, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you. I had the chuckle when you said I found that. I think there's an ongoing refinement journey, but I think I've gained some clarity, which is why opportunities are coming me to come forth and help people and step into an inspiration role that I've been called for some time, because there's so much about doing the journey honestly with yourself in a very gentle and compassionate way that really is important and that wants to be shared.
Now, you have been through what some would consider rather traumatic experiences, in particular with your health. You suffered through, if you will. I don't know if you want to use the word suffered, but nonetheless, you went through a bout with cancer and have come out the other side. And the interesting thing is that up until my wife, I knew nobody. I mean, I was aware of people who had the big C, but knew nobody. And then I meet my wife, and she goes through that process herself and through that chemotherapy, the other C, if you will. wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. That is some—and I'm an observer. I haven't experienced it, and yet my observations are I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. It is just, it's awful. But yet, being diagnosed with something like that has to be, you know, in our day and age, in the way that things are reported and even marketed, that's horrendous in and of itself.
You know, there's a couple things I heard that want to be spoken. One is, and myself included, there's an awareness now that it's much like you, when you're diagnosed, it's almost like saying, here, go to Iraq. You don't know how to use a gun? It's, you know, and that there is, for not for everybody, but for some people, they are classifying PTSD as an appropriate diagnosis for people when they have been diagnosed with cancer. And I did see some research recently that said, well, some of the people that have PTSD have clearly had other traumas in the past, which is definitely a thing for me. And the other thing is, I think that everybody is affected and changed somehow when they know somebody who has it, whether it's, you know, oh, well, somebody had it and they don't want to talk about it, so that's what we learn. And I had some of that in some of my family relations, and then, you know, my experience with it is just different. It's just what I'm meant to journey with. But there's also an awareness now. There is a tag, so to speak, called co-survivor. Because if you're journeying as much as you can, and everybody has their own edges, but if you're journeying with somebody going through cancer, you don't get the chemo when they do, but you're going through a lot of it with them.
You're suffering a pain of your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's not, I'm really grateful that just recently that's been acknowledged, because, you know, when I was going through treatment, the person I was with, who we parted pretty much as soon as treatments were over, but, you know, there wasn't a lot support group wise. Even a friend of mine whose wife died from a different type of cancer within the past year or so, you know, I said, wow, I'm seeing this gap. You know, I mean, he had great support from his church and things like that, but, and then he said, well, when he's there with her all the time, how could he do it? You know, what, is there an online survivor support group? You know, because, you know, so, there is a journey for people. And, you know, and people may or may not understand that both people are going through something. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't really be paying attention to the survivor, but you can't negate those people either. I mean, I was horrified. My ex, we were at an appointment, and granted, understandably, there were other dynamics going on. And for me, it was really learning to focus in on myself. And that's an edge I still work on sometimes. But you know, one of the doctors basically just turned around and said, be quiet to him. Just shut up. And I was like, I was so stunned I couldn't even speak at the time. You know, I was like, whoa, this person's going through this with me. They have their own feelings, and somewhere they have to be able to be voiced. You know, I mean, many of the survivors I observe, and the ones that are going deeper, and sometimes for many people that takes 5, 6, 7 years if they still survive to start to go, okay, what's going on in my inner realms? And what, you know, oftentimes that happens because we stuff things. That's my opinion, because there's an ongoing layer and level clearing that I still do myself. But, you know, if that's our experience, and that's why we manifest cancer, if you use that terminology, well, how does it help to tell the partner to stuff it completely because they need to show up for somebody else?
Yeah.
You know? So that's just what I felt led to share about that. So.
Well, and from my perspective and my experience, it was difficult for me. I mean, I had never experienced anything like this before. I didn't have any points of reference. And so I sought outside sources and it was actually a group of with the Cancer Society back in Arizona. And I had been going through September and October. And by the way, this happened September 11th, 2001 was this time frame. So now you've got this stacked on top of that. And so we get into November, and I'm just feeling burnt out. I am feeling so, but I'm feeling guilty. Like, well, but wait a minute, I've got to be here for her. Not really being aware of that first rule of survival, take care of number one. Because if you don't take care of number one, how are you going to take care of anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
So I was chatting with these people with this the Cancer Society there in Arizona.
And I wanted to take a short little trip, just like for the weekend, drive out to San Diego just to get some breathing room and come back. And that my wife would be taken care of. We had neighbors, and I mean, all she was going to do basically was lay in bed, and she can get up and she can move about, but nonetheless. And we had this dialogue where if I didn't go, the feeling was that I would resent her the rest of my life. If I did go, I would be resented the rest of my life. Well, I went. We dealt with those issues, and you know, we've gotten through that whole thing. But there's one of the issues I think that we might want to talk a little bit about. Now, the program isn't exclusively here about dealing with cancer, and you know, as you say, the co-partner, the partners, and so forth. It's about learning to work through these issues, these challenges, whether you have the dis-ease or whether you're with someone who has it, or it doesn't even have to be a dis-ease. It could be an issue that they're dealing with, a challenge in their life, a loss of a job, you know, you're moving, whatever the case might be, or some old baggage that has just suddenly come up in your life and you're dealing with it, and your partner is saying, well, wait a minute, you know, this wasn't here before. This isn't what I signed on for. And a lot of people run. I mean, they don't come back, as you have sort of expressed. And she even had a friend who was a friend who said she'd be there forever and ever, isn't there, and disappeared.
You know, it's so funny. And it's interesting because I really want to be in a framework of, you know, there's so many things that this partner did for me that I would not have been able to get through treatment without. And I really have to trust that God was doing something in my inner discovery when so many people left.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just him, and I don't want to put the focus just there. But, you know, there definitely was a lot of challenge in losing somebody who said, you know, we live multi-dimensionally. I found you in this time, lifetime. I'll find you again. And the minute treatments were over, he was gone. And that was incredibly hard. But at the same time, I had other people who just left, some that were best friends. And I was calling, and they weren't returning my calls. And I'm going through cancer. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to reach out. I'm trying to be healthy. And for me, what part of that's been, and I can't speak to everybody else, but for me, it's also been an interesting growing experience around my personal journey. Was when I got diagnosed, I went to like the highest trauma experience I'd ever had in my life. And not having the framework and the understanding, and I've been working with a therapist specifically in trauma resolution work, because I do healing work, it scares me if people do healing work and they never work on themselves, you know? I've been dedicated with that. And sadly, there are a lot of people that are afraid to work with somebody who is honest that they're doing their own inner work. Oh, you know, it's like, well, then if you want somebody on a pedestal, I'm not the gal for you. But there is this place where, and oh my gosh, I don't know where, my poetry is not all totally organized, but I have some pieces I wrote about the journey, and they've, you know, much like life, it's not linear. It hasn't come up, you know, oh, I wrote this the day I got diagnosed. There were some things that I couldn't start processing until way out, but I have a piece that I wrote, and it was like, you know, I'm in this place, I'm looking at this, and, you know, what makes you think you're God, and you point the finger, and you tell me what's wrong with me, and it's not coming out the same as the way it comes through in the poetry. It's really very potent, but it was basically about, you know, what I observed is a lot of people, when I got diagnosed, somebody told me, be careful, because really this is all about managing everybody else's issues around you getting sick. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, you've got to be kidding. But I did observe that, you know, a lot of people, when you get sick, it's, well, you know, you probably did this. I mean, flat out, I was a pretty darn holistic person. I was working on emotional things. I believe there was a lot more that still wanted to be addressed and dealt with, and very grateful, all praise to the Creator. I'm 5.5 years out from a 3A when they said as a young survivor I had a 50% chance of being here in 5 years. So, you know, I do believe there is some divinity, and I feel very strongly about the emotional addressing of things that can chew you up inside. What's cancer? It's chewing yourself up inside, you know? But you know, I had people flat out come up to me, you know, I've been watching you. You eat too much soy. You know, all these holistic people say it's anger issues, so you must have anger issues. Now, whether that's true or not, I certainly wanted to have anger issues because I realized I wanted to hit people when they felt so righteous. But, you know, but what I realized after that was that's what they need to do because they cannot have this engagement in this conversation because it's making them look at things that they don't want to look at.
Yeah, yeah, good
point. And if you can figure out why I got sick and you never had cancer, then you can be in la-la land and pretend it's never going to happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and especially somebody who has been holistic, who, you know, for at least a half year, a year before, I started removing chemicals in my environment, but I've learned a lot more about that. So, you know, I call it clean living, and that's one of the things I want to help teach people about is, you know, yes, living from your heart, and you have to be who you are, and I'm really starting to step into art and music, finally, powerfully, in a big way in the next couple months, I hope. But, you know, you can't really hear yourself if you have too many things fuzzing you out. When I used to use chemically laden hair color and I stopped, and then I used it once because I missed the color, I could not think straight for 2 or 3 weeks and my head literally hurt.
I'm noticing there are more and more people that are experiencing those kinds of conditions. There's a woman up in Oregon that I met 15, 20 years ago, and I was helping her with a particular project, an audio project, that, and she deals specifically with these kinds of chemical toxicities of chemicals that we wouldn't even think of that are in our homes. Laundry soap, for example, or just hand soap, and perfumes, and on, and the list goes on. And she would have those same kinds of experiences. And I still remember a story she told where she was taking these supplements that were helping her, and she forgot one day. And she got in the car, and she drove into the city. And she got out of the car, locked it, and she went off to do her shopping. And she came back. She had forgotten to take these supplements. So I don't remember exactly what it was. She couldn't find the car. She had to call her husband, who had to come into town to try to help her find the car. Because she was so confused. She was so out of sorts. Not so much because of the lack of the supplements, mind you, but because of the effect that the toxins to her body were having.
Mm-hmm.
And so this seems to be coming up more and more with a lot of people. And I interviewed a woman not too long ago, Aileen, who expressed similar comments as you as far as her health and it deteriorating. However, she was just the opposite of you. Before that, she was not someone who was into health foods and alternative medicine and so forth. She took the antibiotics and she ate the packaged foods and she ate the fast foods and so on and so forth. And it was of course the diseases that came along that opened her eyes and she went down a different path. Sandy Cowan is her name. That's the woman. Get Well Even When You're Told You Can't is the title of her book. And we had her on just a week or so ago. And so these kinds of things, yes, they do express, as you said, certain emotional issues. And we can take...
Well, and to be honest, I wasn't perfect on diet and, you know, leaned a little bit too much into a drink mix
sure.
in between or whatever, you know. And I'm really choosing a lot more whenever possible, whole foods, real foods, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, if I'm running in between something, I may not always, but like I was rushing to make sure I could make this appointment. And, you know, I got a little bit of protein and then I looked around and went, I want to eat. Oh, look, they have a sale on broccoli and carrots in a bag, pre-chopped. Good. I can eat those things and be on the run. So, I mean, it's a constant opportunity to look at that.
Yeah.
And the trick is, to be loving and compassionate when you don't. Oh, I'm really craving those things. Okay, your body may want it due to a detox, but it's okay to have it once in a while so we don't drive ourselves insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a huge component. I don't think it's any one thing with any illness, any mm-hmm. dis-ease, but I do believe that there's a soul aspect. I do believe that there are lessons that we learn that we can't always guarantee. And if somebody else says this is where you should be at your healing and recovery, they don't know what the inner journey is. They don't know what you're working through. And it can really be incredibly damaging.
Yeah.
And I've experienced a lot of that coming through this journey. You know, you should be here. You should be doing this. What? You know?
Yeah.
And maybe not, you know? But I can say this, that there's a lot that's happened in healing of other issues that cancer prompted. And there are people that when they do this very holistic want to change my life look, that is often a part of it, of maybe what's happened traumatically in the past 2 years prior to diagnosis, and there's some research on that. And then there's also just really looking at what does and doesn't work. And to me, that's a constant unfoldment. But, I mean, I had severe bullying growing up, and it's been an interesting thing to address those things, as well as the interesting ways that blessings have come along in healing some of those things. You know,
healing is what we're talking about here on the program today. And we're talking mm-hmm. with Aileen Sabira, and she has a website, aileensabira.com. We are linked to her website. So, and just to let you know, when you go to her website, there are a lot of pages there with a lot of great information, some photographs and things of this nature. But it is a website that is... It's under construction from, I think, maybe this standpoint, Aileen, and that is that you're always adding to it. You're always putting something new in there. And so from that standpoint, it is under construction. There are some pages that don't have anything there, but there are more pages now than ever before that can give people some insights. And you also have a blog where you share your thoughts and so forth. And we're going to talk more about some of the methods, some of the modalities. That's why I love the word modalities, and that's why I made the comment about your being a multimodal and a little twist on that word. I like that.
Well, instead of multimedia, which I am, and
right?
multimodalities, multimodal,
I like
that. It kind of pulled it all in.
It works for me.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be right back.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
And we are going to take a pause here in our interview with Aileen Sabira, and we're going to talk with Beth McDonald about the very interesting events that are going on. As you and I have already shared, Beth, the whole issue of maintaining a schedule and all of this went right out the window in regards to this weekend. It was just unbelievable. And you had mentioned that I'm not alone, that there are others that are sort of experiencing the same kind of disconnect. And you made a comment about how it's almost as though we're still Mercury in retrograde, but we're not.
But we're not. We are in the echo period, which is the 3 weeks after the Mercury retrograde. But this one is particularly, I want to say jumpy.
I was going to say bizarre.
Bizarre is also true, because there's so much energy in Aries.
Yeah.
And Aries is very impulsive, it's very rapid, it moves very quickly, and often when there's a lot of Aries energy and you're moving that fast, it's easy to make mistakes, easy to forget details, easy to overlook things. It's harder to be detail-oriented when you're moving that fast.
Okay.
And so, it does definitely have that same tone. Mercury, the planet Mercury is in the middle of Aries, it's about 14 degrees. And so, this could foreseeably ramp down very slowly.
Okay.
But don't lose sight of the fact that there is a gorgeous new moon on Monday. You know, the sun has moved into Taurus. The new moon will be right there next to it in Taurus. The new moon is always in the same sign as the sun. And it's the new moon is new beginnings. It's particularly poignant this year because the new moon happens the day after May Day, which is also, the spring ceremony, the spring celebration.
Right. Beltane.
Yep, Beltane, mm-hmm. and off we go. So,
now, you also have mentioned that there is a
six planet alignment, or not so much alignment, but there are six planets, Uranus, Mars, Jupiter, Mercury, as you've mentioned, Venus, and for a short time, the moon. In Aries. Through May 1st.
Right. Aries is one of my favorite signs. It's very, very powerful. On a good day, it's very, very proactive, all about forward motion, getting things handled, getting things done, solving the problem. It's also very playful, but on a bad day, it can be a little cranky. It can be a little quick to anger. You have to watch your tongue a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful configuration for May Day, for Beltane. I think it's awesome.
Is this the same configuration of planets they are talking about that will appear in the sky in some alignment, or that the solar system planets somewhere around December 21st of 2012? Is this the same?
No, everything then will be in Sagittarius, which is, and Capricorn, which is also, you know, Sag is a fire sign.
Okay.
So it's very, very different. However, very similar to the configuration that was said to be in the sky when Jesus was born.
Okay.
There is a very strong movement of historical astronomers who have been tracking back, you know, what that was all about. And Aries is the sign of the emperor, the king. And they feel that there was a stellium in Aries at the time of Christ's birth.
It seems interesting, too, for me as a layman, that when I look, when I hear about the universe and its motions and movements and spinning and things flying hither and yon, and I often wonder, well, how is it that these constellations that we look up at in the sky every night, for the most part, they're still in the same position and shape. You can still outline Orion's Belt and the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, et cetera, et cetera. And yet the universe is constantly in motion. It's like, I don't understand. If I took a bowl of marbles and I threw it on the same floor three times in a row, I'm going to get three different complete patterns. And yet the universe maintains this cohesiveness.
Certain gravitational order,
yeah.
I think.
Very strange.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful.
Well, okay. I'm just trying to understand it a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I know that we're all trying to understand what's going on, and you're there to help us because
yes.
you've been doing this for how long?
Since the early 90s,
okay.
Probably 93, 94.
All right. And people can find out about you at your website, which is BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
Yes.
And a phone number, can we give that out?
Yes. That is 805-963-0842.
All right. And again, Beth McDonald Consulting. Beth McDonald, we look forward to talking with you next Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story. And we're talking with Aileen Sabira, and we're talking about health and wellness and healing and the creative arts that she's a part of, and her website, AileenSabira.com. And we are really focusing on maybe, this sounds kind of strange, Aileen, but sort of grounding our spirits a little bit in what will benefit it more, our souls, if you will, that will then, of course, assist our bodies. And we have a lot of emotional layers that we seem like we have to get through that are created. And somebody said not too long ago, I remember in a conversation, well, I wish it was that we could raise up kids so that they didn't have to go through all of this stuff that we've been going through in the last 20, 30, 40 years to get to our life's purpose and be able to really focus. And yeah, that would be nice, but that's not the world we live in, unfortunately. But you have found some methods through your art and your music and toning and poetry that have, well, I guess, let me put the question to you. What have they done for you?
It's really helped me know myself. It may sound trite to start to love myself, because I believe creativity is an awesome power. I believe it's in everybody. And unfortunately, or thankfully, with a degree in music and having had experience on the stage, I've witnessed a lot of people go, oh, you're an actress. And, you know, back when I used to do that full time, and there's new evolutions coming in every day of how I may be moving forth. But I remember that happening after college and high school and such, and I just laughed. Here are these people, good jobs. I was working dinner theater. It's not glamorous backstage when you're trying to change costumes and this and that. And I really felt like, you know, I see now this consciousness I've always held about being mystical and really wanting to honor the heart, because at this reunion I was at, it about 5 years out from high school, I was like, don't the people in the office really like you? Aren't you important to them? Don't you know, don't they miss you if you don't show up for your job? Because, you know, we have this tendency, and a lot of the spiritual work I do is around pictures, veils, illusions, perceptions, beliefs, where we have this thing where, oh, well, if you're an actress, you must be whatever. And then we make up stories about that. Oh, you must be better, I mean, glamorous, whatever. Not necessarily, and I'm not worse than you either. But, you know, we have these things. Oh, everybody thinks an engineer has a pocket protector and whatever. And it's, so, you know, and what do we do to each other when we do that? What do we do to ourselves? And where is that a mirror that there's a piece that we still need to look at? And so I don't view... I'm starting to try not to say healing as much as even consciousness, though there is an ongoing healing. Someone said to me once, well, don't you think at some point you're healed? And that's when I started to want to say experience of, you know, it being in your evolution.
Hmm.
Because then it kind of takes the layer and the judgment and the blame off of, well, I need a healing. Well, there's something wrong with me. Well, what if you just... having a session with someone to go deeper to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, awareness comes up about things you've held, whatever, but it's not, when, you know, I mean, sometimes I still call it a healing when I get things from other people, but, you know, it gives more space for freedom and breathing. And so what that work has done for me was interesting. I was a singer, and the drugs I was on, which I chose to do, and I'm quite all right with that, because there were a lot of people saying, you should have only done this holistically. You're such a powerful healer. You should have. Shoulds are a very dangerous word right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I chose to do that, and there were people that I met in this journey that totally slammed me for doing that, and you should be doing holistic. And, well, I'm sorry, they're dead now, and I'm not. So it wasn't a bad choice,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's different for everybody. There are other people that shouldn't, and I'm in a new, interesting, kind of scary realm because I just went off of the only medical treatment I was on, partly due to side effects, partly due to looking at the research long term.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, everyone was yelling at me that I wasn't singing, but it hurt. There were changes to my voice due to the medications that things hurt, and I believe it was also precipitating more of the depression for many different reasons, but I wanted the value that I thought that was giving me, and it gave me something, I believe. I'm still here. But what I did in that process, I went on a retreat in Maine, which I don't think they hold these anymore, and it was called Healing Retreats for Women with Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they made an integral process of poetry, photography, and they would send you out. We'd, like, you know, do yoga in silence, and then we'd have some discussion, and they'd stir up the psyche muck and read a poem or whatever, and then go shoot a picture about this, write a poem about this.
Hmm.
And then we'd come back, and then they'd put the, you know, we'd have to pick the one picture that suited that the most after we'd shoot all day. We'd put it up, and they'd go, you know what this means about you, and this and that. And quite intense. I think it took me about a year at least to process out that retreat. It was so deep, but then I went, wow, I always loved photography. And when I was interested, before digital wasn't around, and, you know, it wasn't much. I got a little 7-megapixel Canon ELF, and I've sold my work with that. But it's a really great healing process, because I just go out. I'm not in the words. I just follow energy. I just follow feelings. And I noticed that there are times when I start shooting one thing, like there may be cracks and broken things, and then I end on the sunshine or whatever. And also writing has been a deep way of connecting in different layers. I call it little trademark, authentic of the moment, in depth authenticity. Like, we can't get to the deepest places of our essence if we're not willing to admit what's up for us in the moment. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I have to be spiritual. I can't be mad.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're missing something.
Yeah.
Now.
And we're denying part of who and what we really are, and that is we're human. I mean, we're in a human body. We have emotions, and you know, we can't be judging ourselves when we have those emotions. I mean, I've been working myself. Latter part of 2010, I was having issues with high blood pressure. Took all the tests. They couldn't find the cause. Well, I knew what the cause was. I wasn't dealing really well with the outside world. And it wasn't until I changed my perspective. And I was on high blood pressure medication for about a month, if that. And I've been off it ever since. But I still have those moments when I'm out there and I'm driving and something happens in front of me. And I start to tense up and, all right, none of your business. It's not your issue. It's none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And that calms it right. Well, it's getting better at calming it down. And I'm not getting as wound up at those things. And I also have some music that I'm playing in the car that assists me as well. But two things came up for me as you were sharing. One of them was that when I worked for the Christian radio station back in the 80s, we had prayer programs. And it seemed, and some of these programs were on for 6 months to a year or longer, but it seemed as though the same people were always calling for healing, for a prayer to have God heal them. And I thought, this is weird. Why aren't these people experiencing the freedom from this disorder, disease that they are calling in for healing for? And someone shared with me that, well, it isn't about the healing. It's that they need the human contact. Whether they actually have the condition or not, we don't know because they're calling in on the phone. But the reality is they're calling in on the phone to talk to this person, to have this interaction, and that's what they need right there and right now. The other thing that came up for me as you were sharing about your healing was the whole positive speech and positive thought movement back then as well. And I thought, if one asks for their healing, the assumption must be that initially they were sick. And if you acknowledge that you need a healing, you're also acknowledging that you were sick. So if you just say, I'm perfect and I'm whole right here, right now, I mean, this was where this movement was back then. If I acknowledge the wholeness of myself in this moment right now, I don't need a healing. I am perfect the way that I am. Let me ask you your perspective on something like that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and I love the spiritual path that I work within is predominantly Sufism, and it's a world full of paradox. It's true, but it might not be. And there is a place in time where, yes, we are in the oneness. And when we're in the oneness, there's almost not even a need to affirm anything. But then there's this human reality that we live in. And there, you know, thankfully, when I first started, I was raised Catholic, and I find the more I journey with what I do, I find the roots and the beauty in that faith tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe God speaks in every language and in just about every faith tradition if you find the heart of it. And but when I first started into new thought things, when I attended a Unity church, I was very lucky that the ministers there, they were very, very firm about, you do not mess with somebody else's consciousness. So if somebody's not ready to say, I'm perfect, you don't tell them what's wrong with them.
Right.
And, you know, and that there's a time when, though that is important, and it's a very strong step in faith to say, no matter what the external is giving me, I know what the truth is. And ultimately, I believe that's what we're moving towards. But like we said earlier, and if I can't say that, yes, I believe deep down I'm whole, and in this moment, dang, I just chopped my finger off with a knife, and wow, you know? You know, there's a place of acknowledgement of our experience, and I think the challenge is,
yeah,
for myself included, to have the experience fully as a human, because we're here as humans, and to stay fully in our divinity. And that's not an easy process. And, you know, there, I think there's potential with the arts to fall strongly into ego and nafs at times when we're really, you know, a friend of mine and I joked one time, because she does sweet, beautiful art, and she just does these lovely little things that bring light into your heart. And she said that people don't seem to look at her work as art. And I said, what, do we need a support group for Angry Artists Anonymous? That's the only way, you know, the only way it's real art is if you're struggling,
yeah,
and you're in it. That you can also bring light and love and joy. Now, that does not mean that either is better than the other. It's just, it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
Life is a spectrum, and there's a place for everything on it. I want to read you this one piece that... Actually, no, it wants to be this one now. Things change. I think early in the conversation that energy changes. I wrote this on Easter about a year ago. And it's, you know, and it's just because transmissions, and there really is a strong energy in transmissions in the poetry, in the sound work. And it's also for me to go back and look at them, not just what comes through for other people. So that we all get to constantly work on consciousness. That's why it's conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Because, but it's about resurrection.
Okay.
I am the resurrection. I am the life. Coming to this moment, having lived in the darkness, tomb of my knowing, the places I have held have lived fully, completely, all of me entombed as a rock moved from the opening, gateway to the world, to life, light, shining, streaming in, around, through me, is me, as me, light, living, pulsing, breathing, burning out untruths, giggling at absurdities, light, living light. I am the light poured forth. I am the living well. You live and breathe as me. Though darkness may swirl and try to consume, I am the light. I am the resurrection. You course through me, powerful living force. Nothing can stand in the way of truth. I am the light. Beyond all doubts, fears, complacencies, voices of others, voices of darkness, I am the light. I am resurrected. I walk through the doorway, portal to a new being, truth of who I am, bravely, powerfully, passionately, boldly, I step forth. Sun meets my cares, final undoing. From a lifetime of entombment, light, I know my truth. I know my value. I know my worth. I see it all, feel it all, because at my core, truth of my very being, I am resurrected. I am the light.
I like that. That's beautiful.
But I'm, you know, I mean, and then there's the ongoing life. Can I firmly hold that reality? You know what? Our human experiences can creep in.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and they do.
But that is the deepest truth.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's addressing what we were talking about earlier of what's, you know, how do you deal with affirming, whatever. Because there are a lot of people that just, no, it's all light and love. And I just want to go, have you ever tried chemo? You know?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not there right now. Yeah. That's great that you're affirming. You're going to hold that place. But is it okay that I'm here?
Yeah.
And I think that's the challenge. Is it okay for us, you know, myself included, to be exactly where we are and have mercy and compassion there for ourselves, for others?
Yeah.
You know?
It's huge. Yeah, if we don't give it to ourselves, how can we even expect ever to give it to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
That love and compassion and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're talking with Aileen Sabira, and Aileen, before we wrap up our program, I have two more questions that I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, who is Aileen Sabira?
That's funny, because there is this thing of I am. Like, it's really powerful for me to start to say, I'm an artist. I'm here to make a difference. And there's so many labels, but at the same time, labels limit, but they can define and help focus. So I would say a mystic, lover of love and truth, artist, healer, creative person, change agent, being. A friend of mine, when she got diagnosed with cancer, noticed, you know, there was no label. Because what do you do when you're done with labels and you just have to be?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone always wanted something, and they wanted some little label because then there's more comfort when we have labels. And so she made business cards with her name and then HB, human being.
I like that.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out to Felicia.
All right. And all of the work that you've been doing, especially in the last 5 years, that seems to be culminating now, at least at this moment, in a website, AileenSubira.com, and the work that you've been doing, the art and the music and so forth. I wanted to get into some other areas as well as far as sound and toning. But why this? Why now?
I feel almost like I'm being pushed. And I think that it's important for me to step into some things that I've been very withdrawn from a lot of stuff for a long time with PTSD, depression, anxiety. And I feel like I'm being pushed. A friend had me on her radio show, and she said, you know, I'm just getting that, you know, we're always going to be doing our work, but you're really still here for a reason. And that's what it feels like. I'm getting this urgency of, you know, the work that's moving through me. People say they feel such healing when they hear the poetry, when they hear me sing, you know, that it's almost like I'm being pushed to do it. I mean, just like, you know, I mean, and I know that not only poetry books, there is a book that wants to be written about the soul lessons I've been learning and, you know, what it is to be in this space and container. And it's funny, how many times did you start calling me? And I'm like, where did you get my name, you know? And I think that God just brings things when it's time.
Yeah. It's interesting because, and even to that question, I'm sitting here going, well, I've had your name and an email or something going back at least maybe 8 years, 6 to 8 years.
It's not that, at least 5 or something.
Yeah.
But I think you started calling, you called me for an interview like right afterwards. And there's a big key piece for all of us into being able to say it's okay to be who we are.
Yeah.
And I remember just going, who am I? Why are you calling me? What do I belong on the radio for? Whatever, you know. But obviously it was meant to be because it just kept popping up. And
yeah.
So there's something about the authentic journey, you know, being able to look at the whole global, you know, yes, quantum healing can happen, and it's okay to fall flat on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I don't think people hear that very often, and that they really do get a different perspective on being who you are and your passion and who you really are at depth, and how do we really meet that space. So, I really think I'm supposed to be the voice of singing, of healing, of whatever, and how these things come forth, and to really encourage and inspire. I mean, the number of times people are like, you're an inspiration, I said, okay, now, can you please tell me why? Because just managing to stay alive, I don't know. I don't think that's inspiring enough. You know, can you tell me? You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that stay alive,
yeah.
And God bless, thank God for all of them.
Yeah.
And thank God for the people who died because they teach too.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I also wanted to know, because if there's something that's naturally happening, I don't have to put a lot of effort, but if God's already doing something through me, well, what is that? That's where I should put my focus.
Yeah. Well, Aileen, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, sharing your story, and I encourage people to go to your website to see what you do have available there at AileenSubira.com. We're linked to your website, so people can go through us to you, and we hope to have you back again when that book that you've made reference to does come out, and we can talk a little bit more about that.
That sounds great, and also to have some music recording I got to get going on, too, because people keep saying, I have a poetry CD, and they're like, oh, I thought it was you singing. Like,
oh, wow.
Okay, so Yeah, seriously. So, if you would record music, I'll buy it. Okay. So,
yeah.
So there's a lot of work that needs to be birthed in the next year. So.
Well, I have to say that I thank you for sharing the poem that you did with us, and I just was just entranced by that. I think it's very powerful. Very powerful indeed. And we look forward to talking with you again very soon.
I'd love that.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And Aileen has given us some new choices. Hopefully they'll inspire you and encourage you to move forward regardless of what you're going through or maybe because of what you're going through. Use it and transform it. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan for Tell Me Your Story. Love to Lal.